I need some music, goddammit.
All right, well, let's take this.
Hello, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. All right. Welcome to The Vocal Minority, with Nick and Steve broadcasting live on the Really American Media platform. Y'all have joined us just in time for our political week in review.
Keep
in mind, champions, this is all need-to-know news. News you need to know. It's been another wild boar of a week, oink oink. So hop to it, boys. Let's get this dumpster fire under control before we start our weekend.
You feel better?
I do. Now people know who we are. Got a little music, set the mood.
All right. We're here to welcome you to the show one way or another.
Welcome to the show.
We appreciate you being here. It's been another long week in the political landscape of the United States of America. And we're here to kind of take the big shit out of the last week and put it in a nice little box and give it to you with a bow.
Okay. Wow. We can screen for colorectal cancer that way. That's fun. And we're not the United States of America. We got to drop that thing. We're just random states of America. We're red states and blue states, you know?
You're giving up on the American dream? Is that what you're telling me? You're not in this for the fight?
For the next 3 years, I'm not giving up, but calling it the United States, that's so antiquated. As we've said before, Trump is the president of the red states, of mega country. Not of all of us.
Is he really, though? Yeah, we'll go over that. Yeah, when he's awake, that's exactly right. Yeah, we got to go over that. Last podcast was on the 4th of November, so people were heading out to the polls, and late at night, we saw some good news that there was a blue wave. And let me say this.
Yes, amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord, man. I was crossing my fingers. I had some good feelings about Mondami especially, but I didn't know where the other shit was going. And so, I went to bed with a smile on my face.
Yeah, it was definitely a little shot in the arm for Team Blue. There definitely was a blue wave. Democrats swept the board in anything that meant anything, from governor's races to ballot propositions to cities of or mayors of cities. Just everything. They kicked total ass, and I don't think it's any surprise, quite frankly. Although, I'm not trying to get ahead of ourselves, but we got to take a little victory where we had. And I don't know that it's because we have, well-established Democratic leadership at the moment. As we saw, there was a lot of anti-Trump sentiment going on, which means people are paying attention.
Yeah. Jeffrey Havenja says one might even call it a tsunami. Who knows? I mean, the important part is here, as I feel like the Democrats are really bad at this. Anytime we get some momentum going, we're like, we're back, baby. We're back. And we start to lay down a little bit and just kind of coast. So.
Listen, I will caution anyone against thinking that this is, game over. I mean, we didn't accomplish that much. There were some key victories for sure, but it didn't tip the powers of balance or the scales of balance. We're still fucked is my point at the moment, so we got to keep this thing going. Obama showed up last night, crashed a live podcast recording, which is a little rude, but he
what
had
do
to
you
say,
mean? Who was it?
Pod Save America, those guys?
Yeah.
They were doing one of their live recordings, and Obama just kind of walked out on stage, and security did not tackle a black man walking out on stage. If it had been a mega event, they definitely would have.
Yeah, I would have shit my pants, dude. Did they know at all he was coming?
One would think they had some heads up or noticed Secret Service everywhere, but Obama came out and basically said what we're saying here. Like, Tuesday was great, but eye on the prize. Let's not do this litmus test. Mikey Sherrill versus, Mondami, how's liberals too liberal and you're not liberal enough. And it's back when Obama said, let's not do the circular firing squad with us liberals.
Yes.
That was his message. Don't do that crap. Keep the momentum going. I occasionally have people tell us that we're not liberal enough. And I'm just like, if you and I aren't liberal enough as two middle-aged white guys, then we're screwed. If that's your test, because we're pretty friggin' liberal.
Yes. But that's why I am believing that, we can't fight amongst ourselves, you stupid bastards. This more now than ever, we got to continue with the vote blue, no matter who, because we just need to, like this guy's saying, keep our foot on the gas pedal, keep rolling forward.
Yes. Thank you, Jeffrey. And yeah, we're live right now, just after 3 o'clock on the West Coast, 6 o'clock on the East Coast. Nick and I always say things in West Coast time because that's where we are and we're centric like that.
Selfish, really.
Right.
To some degree.
Well, everyone sees the world through their eyes. But yeah, so anyway, so we're live. So if you want to jump in on the comments section, we will respond to some, put some up on the screen, try to ignore any of the trolls that show up. But yeah, it was some good victories. And my first article I've got here to talk about, Wall Street Journal exposes the glaring flaw in Trump's election excuse. Did you see Trump bellyaching the next morning?
Yes. I mean, he's just like a petulant child, dude. I mean, none of what he's saying makes any sense, but the low IQ people can really glean on to it, you know?
Yeah. Even Republicans are sick of Trump. I am starting to see that. And since Tuesday, we have seen a few people, Marjorie Taylor Greene being one of them, but some others as well, saying like, hey, everyone, we may want to pay attention to what just happened. Like, America's not happy with affordability and with all the ICE raids, the stepping on the Constitution, Trump profiting billions of dollars, globetrotting constantly, golfing half the time. Like
Great Gatsby parties.
Right. I mean, how tone deaf was that shit?
Jesus.
So, yeah, the president blamed the fact that he wasn't on the ballot, he wrote. If he really believes this, then the GOP is heading for bigger problems in 2026, says the Wall Street Journal editorial board. Trump said, it was not on the ballot, not literally, but nonetheless was the main motivating factor. To say that Trump wasn't on the ballot is insanity. He was all over it in every nuance, upside down, inside out.
Well, we see the allegiance to Trump all throughout the Republican Party. I mean, we highlight it whenever there's not, whenever MTG steps out for just a moment to say something in a negative light about Trump, we highlight it. Most of, I would say 98-99% of the Republican Party is the Trump Party. I mean, they show complete and utter allegiance no matter what it's about.
If you still say you're Republican, then you are a mega Trumper. Miss Jean here is MTG Rhino, R-I-N-O, Republican in name only. I don't know. Like, we're just saying, I don't even know what a Republican really is anymore. She still claims allegiance to Trump, but she's been sounding very reasonable this past week or two, which caught everyone off guard. So funny. I was sitting on the couch with Kennedy the other night watching some of the MTG clips, and Kennedy, my girlfriend, was like, is it just me, or is she actually more attractive when she speaks in normal terms? Like, dude, she's just radiating a different energy. Yeah, I'm not letting her off the hook, but I'm just saying, like, if you just saw her as of the last 2 weeks, you'd be like, yeah, seems like a good person.
She's not wrong at all. I mean, I don't know if I looked at her and said, oh, wow, she's looking good. But she definitely looks like a different person.
Yeah.
And it's the energy. I mean, it's the energy of not coming off as a hateful, just moron.
I think there is something to that. Like, that much hatred and animosity and conspiracy theories, like, you're certainly projecting ugliness. And I think it probably wears on your physical appearance as well. So, but Trump was all over the ballot. I think it was New Jersey where Mikey Sherrill became the governor. Over 70% of the people in an exit poll said that they voted for the Democrat just as an anti-Trump vote. That was their main motivating factor.
Doesn't surprise me, dude. We talked about a little bit about paying penance early in the week in the podcast.
3 days ago, yes.
Yeah, this is how people are doing it, you know? Like, they're saying, okay, this is my admission of guilt. Like, okay, I was wrong. It's silent, but lethal.
Yeah. For sure. And by the way, it's not just blue states or blue counties. I mean, there are all sorts of red victories out there as well. Districts in Georgia that were deeply red. I mean, all over the country. And then, of course, out west here, California, Prop 50 passed in a freaking landslide to redistrict, to try to offset what Trump is doing to attempt to rig the election. So that thing passed brilliantly. And I, for many years in California, lived in one of the few red districts, ironically. So Tom McClintock was always my congressman, who I debated live on the radio twice, actually. Yeah, his district just got a lot smaller.
Good.
Like Trump's hands and mushroom dick got very small all of a sudden.
It's about time, dude. Yeah, you know, California was a great victory, dude. I was glad to see that. You know, I thought, oh, some people that are a little bit more moderate are going to be like, oh, we can't do that. But I think everyone's realizing that, look, when we're playing a game, if you're not going to play by the rule book, like, we can't play by it either. So, or you know, you'll no doubt win the game. So, yeah, we got to step up and do it.
Yeah. Noel here. The only question at this point is, do we get a fair and free midterms, or do they cancel or rig it in any cost face turquoise covering? Oh, that's an emoji. Sorry. It wrote out what the emoji was. Oh. Yeah. The question is, do we get free and fair midterm elections? I mean, no. To some extent, no. We're going to have to show up in force to counterbalance the minimal things that they're definitely going to do with redistricting or sending poll watchers to try to intimidate us. But they may actually try to pull some straight up shenanigans with either tampering with mail-in ballots or attempting to, declare an emergency. No election. Sorry.
And it could be either. I mean, they're already talking about the mail-in ballots, and, you know, President Trump is on his way to making an executive order that's just going to cut it off. And it's unbelievable to me, Steve, how many Americans think, oh, well, he made an executive order, so that's the land of the law.
Fiat. Like, yes, it's king declared. Nothing. Here's Kim. I hate Tom McClintock, too. Yeah. He once said, what was it? Who went away? He said that recycling is stupid. Well, we're going to recycle you, Tom McClintock, and the rest of the mega world. So good luck. But yeah, it's positive momentum. I do believe the No Kings protest was helpful. I do believe the treatment of ICE played a big impact as well. A lot of exit poll people said that they just can't tolerate the way Trump is treating other humans.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Again, it's funny to hear it at the exit polls, because I think that is a larger feeling that people are keeping to themselves, but feel, you know, not my brother per se, but people around that MAGA community are like, he said like rapists, like murderers. And like, that's not what I'm seeing on camera. Like, yeah, we've seen some rapists and murderers go. But for every time we see a video of an innocent person being taken down and somebody's rights just completely being dumped in the frickin' toilet, and we don't know where these people are going, like, all of this shit is searing into our brains. Like, we're not going to forget the optics of what this looks like and who stood by and said, like, they're just trying to get the dangerous ones out of the country. I thought about this today. Like, my mom was telling me, I'm going to go see the Nuremberg trials, this movie. And I was like, what kind of trials will there be when Democrats are back in power? And I think a lot of these ICE people that went ahead and did this stuff are going to be on trial. I do.
Yeah. Well, Steve Bannon said this week that he thinks he's going to jail when the Democrats take back control. And he thinks that others will as well.
Yeah, he said a lot of people in this room are going to jail, including myself, which, I mean, oof.
Listen, on one level, he's just trying to scare them into getting back in line and, you know, bending the knee to Trump. And I would love to think that that is true, but we also had the opportunity for 4 years to prosecute Trump and just slow rolled Merrick Garland and took our freaking time. And, an election in between, let's put everything on hold. Like, if somebody with a set of balls, and it can be male or female, but if somebody's got the courage, is what I'm saying, to actually pursue some prosecutions, then that absolutely could be a reality.
100%. This is another great comment. Terrorists have hurt Florida's economy. We need to do away with Republicans in the state government of each election. This is something that is slowly starting to come out for Republicans anyway, that they're seeing like, these tariffs, they are affecting us. They are affecting prices and the economy and everything else.
So. Absolutely. Do you want to talk about Trump's lying about the cost of Thanksgiving? That is just so funny.
Yeah, we've got some videos we can play on it. I don't know what you have there, but I've got some just comparisons.
I got the fact check on his bullshit. Everything's cheaper.
All right, well, let's play this first video, and then we can kind of pause this and go over your fact check, okay?
Sure.
Let me see where it is. Okay, here it is right here. Let me get this into live mode. Let's take it live.
Since you brought up the Walmart Thanksgiving meal, yeah, and it is cheaper, but it also contains less. As a portability.
Well, I haven't heard that. You're telling me. Who are you with? Who are you with?
I'm with NBC News, sir.
Fake news. NBC. You're fake news. What a NBC's gone down the tubes along with most of the rest of them.
Yeah.
They were in second place. So I just heard this yesterday that Walmart said that the Thanksgiving was 25% more expensive under Biden. That's a big, to me, that's a big number because Walmart's respected. I mean, Walmart is Walmart, and, you know, they're giving you prices. So that would mean that the whole series of pricing and costs, you know, the groceries and everything else, it was a con job. It was a con job. Affordability, they call it, was a con job by the Democrats.
No, you're trying to con job us right now. And I love that he's learned another new word this week.
Yeah, what is it? Affordability?
Affordability. That's a, it's a new word.
It's old
antiquated.
Fashioned
yes, old fashioned, like groceries. He literally said that. Affordability is a new word, which should not be shocking from a guy born with a silver spoon up his ass.
Of course, yes. This is a list that's on screen here, and while you might not be even able to read it all, you can see the difference in what the meals included in 2024 under Sleepy Joe Biden right. And 2025 with Donald Trump. And the 2025 is a shorter list, dude.
Yes. No, I mean, it's funny. Good old Grok, who I know Grok is, you know, Elon Musk's invention, but... And one day, you know, they've already screwed with Grok a few times to try to make it less woke or whatever. But so, yeah, somebody immediately asked Grok, like, is this true? And Grok said, missing context, the 2025 Walmart Thanksgiving meal contains 15 items, while the 2024 meal contained 21 items. Wow. Additionally, most of the brand name items from last year are replaced with the great value items, the generic brand names. So discount items, less items. That makes up the 25% gap easily. But yeah, if you compared apples to apples, it would absolutely be more this year. But Trump, fake news, doesn't want to hear it, and make a gullible sheep believe that.
Yeah, I don't know how, because it's so easy to go fact check the whole thing and find out exactly like you did. But he has no idea about any of this stuff, dude. He has no idea what groceries, the old-fashioned word, actually cost. If you gave him a quiz about what a Thanksgiving meal is, I doubt he would be able to tell you.
Yeah, I mean, he asked the Met Grill or whoever he's eating at. I went to Wharton's for Thanksgiving and whatever right. The hell they served him. I mean, when do you think, and by the way, why are we small on the screen? What's going on here?
We're the same size as normal.
No, it's weird on my end. Anyways, when do you think the last time Donald Trump went into a grocery store was? Ever?
Well, he went in when he learned the word groceries and like grabbed a couple apples in the produce section. And, you know, but he looked at it like, wow, the way this is laid out. I mean, you could tell he'd never been in a grocery store.
Of course. I mean, like I said, this is a guy that has never had to worry about money. So it's no wonder he thinks groceries is a new word and does not understand the concept of affordability.
Yeah. No, 100%. It is funny to see that. I mean, are you even trying to care about groceries right now? You know that's what people are actually worried about, so they're telling you. Brett Baer sat down with Trump and got a question from a Republican voter and read it to Trump. And, I mean, I'm just going to play this for you because it's just a masterclass in actually answering a question from Brett Baer. This is President Trump.
Regina Foley messaged me, and she says she is retired in Greensboro, North Carolina. She is a registered Republican all her life. She voted for you three different times. But she is not happy about how her prices have not come down, that she sees. And she said this, quote, "I want the Republicans to keep control of Congress in 2026, but something has to be done fast. I don't see the best economy right now. Wall Street numbers do not reflect my Main Street money. Please do something, President Trump." So please. I guess what do you say to Regina and people like her?
Well, I do say this. Beef we have to get down. I think of groceries. You know, it's an old-fashioned word, but it's a beautiful word. A beef we have to get down, but we've got prices way down.
Uh-huh. Didn't answer. I mean, he didn't answer one thing. I mean, he's conceding on beef a very little bit, but I mean, answer the question, dude. That's a voter who voted for you three times, and you can't say anything with substance to it?
No, of course not. It's fake news. He said the other day that groceries may be higher, but everyone's 401ks and stock portfolios are higher too. Because, again, that's how he looks at the world, that everyone owns stock. Everyone's got retirement and savings accounts and money to fall back on. These freeloaders that need my SNAP, you know, money that he's still screwing with.
Yes, you're so right, dude, that he does think about it that in those terms and would probably be surprised to know the ratio of people in America that have a 401k or any stocks at all, you know,
or any savings at all.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, they say the average American is like $600 or $700 away from just a financial crisis. That if you get an extra $700 expense in any given month, you don't have the money to cover it. And that has been true for the majority of my life. So I can certainly relate to that.
Yeah, that's something to think about, dude. I mean, during the pandemic and we saw, I mean, there was, I don't know, in Washington State, there was a lot of money given out. Like people were really taken care of. But I know elsewhere in the country that people struggled a lot more, and there were a lot of people living out of their cars and stuff like that. And some of the stories that you just heard of people like, yeah, like I can't do this. My parents are dead. I have no one to call. No one's coming to save me. And that is a lot of freaking people, dude.
Absolutely. As he, like you said, throws his great Gatsby party and is trying to build his ballroom, which also apparently came up in a lot of those exit polls. That, you know, people feel, shockingly, they feel a tad insulted by SNAP benefits being cut off while you're partying like Great Gatsby and building a freaking gold, you know, embezzled and plated, you know, ballroom for all your rich fucker friends.
Yeah. It's so funny, dude, because you bring up SNAP again. We're talking about food right now, and food insecurity has been a big topic of conversation during the longest shutdown in the history of the United States of America.
Yeah.
I came across somebody I know that posted this video on their TikTok page.
Okay.
I'm going to play it for you, and then we'll dissect it afterwards. Because I think some people are really confused. Because, look, you have officials saying it's a Democrat shutdown. They, you know, they want us to say we'll feed illegal immigrants, and we're not going to do it. So they believe it, and you shouldn't.
Yeah, great.
The entire basis for the government shutdown is that the Trump administration correctly does not want to send hundreds of billions of dollars to fund illegal immigrants in the blue states.
What Democrats are doing here, they're making plans to keep the shutdown going.
The Democrats want to keep the money spigot going to incent illegal immigrants to come into the U.S. who will vote for them. That's the crux of the battle.
And you all have just figured out, 29 days in, that, oh, there might be some consequences. There are people who run out of money.
What's going on right now, they have been funding these people. They've been giving them EBT cards. They've been giving them Medicaid.
This isn't a political game. These are real people's lives that we're talking about.
They were taking hotels, like 4- and 5-star hotels. The Roosevelt Hotel being the classic example. They were sending, I think, $60 million a year to the Roosevelt Hotel. All it did was house illegals.
And we've tried to do that 13 times.
I don't even completely know where to start. Like I said, I don't know. You come across these problems when you see people that you know and are friendly with who post shit like this, and I just want to grab them by the neck and be like, you don't really believe that, do you? So let's go over some facts, Steve, of what is actually happening here.
Yeah. I mean, it's classic trying to demonize the other and demonize the immigrant, which on one level, I don't even understand. Like, don't we want to be the country that has the moral high ground, that takes care of the lesser of us, that tries to prop people up, tries to, you know, the rising tide lifts all boats. Do you want this person breaking into your car to get your change, or would you rather help them from the richest, from the richest man on the fucking planet who could solve world hunger and still sleep in a mansion? But most of that is all bullshit. So go ahead.
And let's just remember, dude, this is a country built by immigrants. Okay.
Yes.
So, you know, at one point in time when we were kind to immigrants, you know, they helped build everything that you have. Okay.
Right. Statue of Liberty is a monument to immigrants, by the way. And that is one of the symbols of our country. So.
Yes. So here's what's actually happening. Undocumented immigrants are not eligible for federal SNAP benefit or Medicaid, except for emergency Medicaid, which reimburses hospitals for emergency care. But it's a very small portion of spending. Right. We know this, that if you have a medical emergency and go into an ER, it's the least of the decency of the human race that we would say, oh, I'll help you. You know, they're not going and getting shoulder surgeries and breast augmentation.
Transgender for everyone.
Transgender for everyone. Okay, so that is a very small portion of the spending. Medicaid and SNAP eligibility is generally restricted to U.S. citizens, green card holders, and some lawfully present immigrants under specific conditions. Undocumented immigrants do not qualify for these benefits under the current federal law. Okay, that's just factual.
Yes, and by the way, people that do qualify for SNAP, there's a time limit on it. I keep hearing this week. It just people just live off it for the rest of their lives. Like
yes,
somewhere around the 2 to 3 year mark, your benefits expire. So,
have you ever been on unemployment, dude?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a full-time job in itself to keep your benefits coming in. You know, you got to apply, you got to check in.
Run out too.
Yeah, they do. You get about 6 months out of them. Okay, so the Democrats are pushing in budget proposals to restore Medicaid eligibility for some categories of lawfully present immigrants that were restricted by a recent law, the One Big Beautiful Bill. This would not extend coverage to undocumented immigrants, but rather some groups with legal status who lost access earlier this year due to the Big Beautiful Bill.
Right.
So we're basically saying, yeah, like we'd like to take care of people that have done this the right way and that we said, oh, okay, you've done this. We're going to start helping out and we're not going to just pull the rug.
And look at this comment. I did get my SNAP, the standard $24 a month. Oh, living the high life there, huh, buddy?
When you go to the store, okay, because you go to the store almost every day. That's how you shop. Yeah. What do you spend? You spend at least $80 to $100.
I can't get out of there for less than $100 on any visit. It's why I often don't go once a week. The idea of just going there and spending $500 makes me nauseous. I would rather go 5 days and spend $100 each because somehow that makes my head feel better.
It's how I buy my drugs. Like I can't just buy a month's worth of drugs, you know.
Even this person, I received my SNAP in full, $217. That is two trips to the grocery store.
Yeah. And you know, the people that are using SNAP benefits, most of them, there are a large majority anyhow that are working full time. Some have two jobs, and they are trying to stretch, you know, food more than I do. You know, I'm more wasteful than I probably should be, but I mean, they're counting their beans. You know what I mean? Like they're.
Yes.
They have kids they got to feed and everything else. So.
Yes. And hold on real quick. SNAP does not run out. You have to reapply every year. AI answer, no, SNAP benefits do not last forever. There are two main ways they can expire. Your eligibility period ends and you must recertify. Yeah. And unused benefits on your EBT card can be lost after 9 months of inactivity. To keep your benefits active, you must recertify and use your card periodically. I still don't know that that means you can recertify for the rest of your life, but okay.
I think that there's some requirements, like things that you have to do. Like, are you working? If you're not working, are you looking for a job? I mean, there are some requirements for it.
Of course.
Okay, and let's just, I feel like most people listening to this podcast know the rest, but I want to make clear that when Elon Musk, or we call him Leon on this show, Leon Musk says, they just want to take care of all these illegal immigrants so they can get them here to vote the next go around. Like, I don't know why anyone would believe that and think, oh, illegal immigrants vote all the time.
It's no, fear-mongering. It is the mega talking points, and none of them are going to fact-check anything. They all believe that illegal immigrants get to vote. I've had this argument a million times. Oh, California, you don't have to show your ID to vote. No, but you have to show to register to vote. Like, why would you have to show it again to vote? Like, yeah. It's just a complete freaking lie, but 30-something percent of this country wholeheartedly believes it. And this is all fear-based. And I keep saying, have you seen any of these Sora? Is that the AI new video thing?
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of fake AI videos of noticeably all African-American people talking about, you know, that they love their benefits and they're living the good life. And it's just all bullshit propaganda. And most of the comments are like, this is why we got to cancel SNAP. And this is why we shouldn't have SNAP. Like, by the way, no one was proposing to get rid of SNAP. That's not what any of this is about.
No. You know,
I mean, SNAP was there. It's going to be there. This is just the government shutdown that is screwing with it, even though it shouldn't, because there's emergency funds in place.
Listen, dude, if you think SNAP is expensive, stop feeding people and see how expensive our healthcare gets.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
So, I mean, this is all bullshit. The shutdown not caused directly by Democrats wanting to give SNAP or medical benefits broadly to undocumented immigrants, though immigrant eligibility rules are part of the broader budget debate. Of course they are, dude. Yeah. We're humans. We need food to live. All of you Bible-touting bastards out there that refuse to look when God told you, oh, you know, treat your man from another land, an immigrant from another land, as you would yourself. You know, I don't know why you don't think about that shit when it comes down to politics.
Right.
You don't want to take care of people. Yes. I saw a girl do a social experiment on TikTok where she called churches and said, hey, my SNAP, with the SNAP benefits out, she had a audio recording of a little baby crying in the background. She said, I ran out of formula last night and my baby hasn't eaten, you know, all overnight and into today. Can you help me with just a can of formula? And I would say at least 90% were like, no, I'm sorry. We can't help you. We don't do that.
Wow. Even just, with your tax exempt little scam you're running there, huh?
Tax exempt scam is right. And let's just talk about pro-choice for a minute here. Like, this is another thing that just shows that you bastards don't care about the life of a baby once it's out of the womb. You refuse to take care of it. You refuse to take care of people. You're hateful. You're MAGA. And this one's for you, dude.
Yeah. I heard somebody this week saying, maybe it was an old clip, I don't know, but they were saying, you know, that if you're pro-life, you're not. You're pro-birth. You're not pro-life. You want the kid born. You don't give a crap what happens to them after that fact. Yeah. And, you know, on this whole SNAP topic, considering that many people on SNAP have full-time jobs, this really is another corporate handout, so they don't have to pay people an honest wage. That's a very valid point.
Yeah.
You know, the Walmarts, speaking of them, that are underpaying people, were then forced to make up the money that they're not paying the gap. Because remember, everyone, what the S in SNAP stands for, supplemental nutrition assistance. Yeah. Bro, you cannot live off of SNAP. It would be impossible. You cannot eat. You can't buy enough ramen noodles on $200 a month to live off of it. It's ridiculous. And yeah, we are supporting companies that don't want to pay an actual living wage, because the minimum wage hasn't been livable in God knows how long. Certainly, I don't think our lifetimes.
No. This is another great something to think about. And I didn't think about it. Maybe others did. I was listening to Mondami talk. He was going around the city talking to bodega owners, you know, little grocery store owners. And they were saying that about 25% of their income they make in those bodegas is from SNAP recipients. So yes. Their business just took a 25% shut. Just shut off the income there.
Absolutely.
So this isn't just hurting the hungry. It's going to drain other people financially in our economy and then in turn make them hungry.
Spot on. I used to have a mega loving boss that I would, you know, get into political arguments with. And I came in one day and I told her, like, hey, there's this great new program that takes your tax dollars and spends it in your town. Like, isn't that awesome? Everyone wonder, where's my tax dollars go to? Who knows? But don't you want your tax tax dollars being spent in your town? And she was like, that's a new program. Tell me more. And of course I was talking about SNAP, you fucking idiots. And for every dollar in SNAP money spent, I think it's like $1.80 something in economic activity that it stimulates in your town, because people that are poor, quote unquote, aren't traveling and they're not saving money like rich people. That's the flaw with trickle down economics. We pay them more, they'll pay us. No, they hoard it. People that are broke do not hoard money because they can't. So they're spending it in your town at your store, which helps that store to pay their taxes, pay their employees, who then can go out and spend more money in the town, and round it goes.
Yeah, it goes right back into the economy. I mean, it's just it's a factual fact. That was felt like a very Trump thing to say. It's a factual fact.
It's positive in that it's negative. So, yes.
Oh, boy. I mean, the comment sections are really blowing up with everything that's going on. Our utilities went up and used our extra cash. We have nothing left for food. Trump is also sitting in the Oval Office saying, energy's way down. I don't know about everybody, but my energy's not down at all. I'm paying more for my natural gas, and the gas in my car, I'm still paying $4.50, $4.60 a gallon.
Of course. Everything is up except bullshit. That's apparently free coming right out of the White House. So you can all thank Trump for a discounted rate on that. He said the other day that gas will be under $2 a gallon very soon. Very soon, yeah.
You know, and here's the thing, dude, that I do understand that there are some states where gas is cheaper. You know, taxes are different
It's different everywhere. But and if there's some anomaly where it's under $2, I bet it's a place you don't actually want to live. Know what I mean?
Yeah, my brother in Omaha, dude, he's like, $2.38. How's your tourism?
Yeah, right. I mean, there's parts of my own home state of Michigan. You can buy a house for $30,000. You're not going to want to live there, but sure, you can do it. Why is California so expensive? Because people want to live there. That's why.
That's right.
Yeah. It's nauseating. And yeah, I do appreciate all the feedback in the comment section. So that's good.
Yeah, dude, I don't know. I wish I could give some sort of advice on where to get fed if you're struggling. I mean, I don't know. I hope that the majority of us who can, like my mom, she's 80 years old. She was like, oh, I donated, you know, $10 at the grocery store yesterday. You know, it's just what I could do. We could all do something. So, I mean, yeah, I'm all for trying to feed our families that are not being fed.
Just find the nearest Great Gatsby party in your neighborhood with your social circle and go have some fun, man. Come on.
Yeah, there'll be a woman in a champagne glass right outside, you know.
So. Nothing tacky about that. Anything you see at a strip club and at a Trump event should probably be a little bit of an alarm bell.
It's Mar-a-Lago, Steve. Come on. Right. While all this serious shit is going on and we're seeing people of all different, I mean, I'm seeing people all across the board struggle in one way or another right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's very important conversation still going on, political conversation about people who are trying to make change and differences. I saw this clip from one of my favorite broadcasters. He just breaks it down in a really nice, easy way. His name is Jesse Waters, but here, I'll play this clip for you. Okay.
I wasn't picking up on your sarcasm, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
The most controversial moment went down behind the scenes when Zohran crossed his legs and hid his manhood. Tommy, when you see a guy stand like that, what goes through your mind?
I'll tell you, Jesse, they never said that communism was masculine, but this is not just a Zohran problem. We see Gavin Newsom, who crosses his legs when he sits and does interviews. That's a little bizarre. We know Timmy Walz with his jazz hands. And I'm not so sure these men are running for elected office. I think they're auditioning to be Radio City Rockettes, maybe a much better endeavor for them to pursue. You can't unsee that. This is an unserious person. I'll tell you this, though. We tried. We watched him bench press about a month ago. Right. So this might be slightly less embarrassing.
These are the conversations. What do they call those when you're, running dinner table conversations or,
I don't know what the hell that is. other than compensating and trying to deflect. And I think a lot of men right now are crossing their legs because they don't want all the closeted Republicans on Grindr coming up and grabbing them by the male pussy, you know, like
it's very possible. When I saw Jesse Waters and Tommy Lauren talking about that, I thought, of course, dude, you're dealing with the bottom of the barrel. No one else is talking about this. And boy, I was wrong about this, dude. Other people are.
All progressive guys cross their legs like women. What they do, literally, it's a sign. It's I cross my legs. As I cross my leg, it'll hike up my top leg, pant leg, and it'll expose my colorful sock.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll know where I'm at. By the way, you can watch them all. Watch Gavin Newsom. Watch them all. Watch them how they cross their legs. And then watch how Trump crosses his legs.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't cross legs. He holds his legs wide open.
He puts a diamond in front of his testicles.
Right.
He sits like
worship
this every
that
time.
Motherfucker, dude.
So there's Trump with the diamond. His diamond, which accentuates his nutsack. And then you have Justin Trudeau signaling, I have no balls. I have no balls. I will sit in this position for 4 hours, cut off the circulation of my nutsack because I do not have balls, but I have colorful socks so you know where I'm at. Ladies, gay community, you know where I stand. Look at my socks and watch me cross my legs like a chick.
I got so many things to say about this, dude.
I really used to like Adam Carolla. He has so gone off the deep end. I mean, this is what you ponder and argue when the facts aren't on your side and you have nothing else to go after. I mean,
completely.
How men cross their legs. I cross my legs when I play guitar. I think that's pretty awesome. So.
I mean, I always think about this, dude. Evolution of man. How did Jimmy Kimmel evolve and Adam Carolla just fell even deeper into just misogynistic, homophobic, you know, piece of crap?
Yeah. I mean, it's like the high school friends you grew up with that you had to unfriend on Facebook because somehow you guys all started in the same place, but you grew in completely different directions.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, what a just asinine, weak argument to make. As if Trump is any sort of masculine, you know, worship idol to look up.
The way they're talking about it, Trump has a big diamond on his nutsack, like his legs are spread wide open. The thing that pissed me off so much about this is that while we're discussing how to feed families and, you know, how to get SNAP benefits rolling again and the important issues of our country right now, these are the conversations that you're having. Keep in mind, Dr. Drew was talking with Adam Carolla, and he has access to the White House.
Yeah.
He has access to the White House, dude.
Yeah. Listen, Justin Trudeau is currently banging Katy Perry, apparently. So I think he's fine with his masculinity and his junk and everything else. Gavin Newsom is on top of the world. I mean, I don't know. They're just trying to take these guys down a notch for the silliest of things.
Does it not? I mean, we did a story, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago talking about how hard women were having a problem dating MAGA men.
Yeah, you wonder why.
That's exactly right, dude. Can you imagine that be the conversation? Like, look at that gay boy, you know, crossing his legs. Like, what is wrong with you, dude? And if you're judgmental about that, like, who knows what's in the deep tunnels of your mind, your terrible mind. So,
no, exactly.
Yep.
All right. A couple of random things I do want to get into. One, I'm going to put under the topic of Nick and Steve were right.
Oh, which this is a fun one.
Happens every now and again. So we've been talking for months now. We started it when there were 3 cases. We talked about it again when there were 24 cases of assets out there impersonating ICE officers because ICE has made it so easy for criminals to do that. Because when you wear a mask and you don't identify yourself and you don't have a warrant and you have a badge or a shirt that you can literally order on Amazon, no one really knows if you're really law enforcement.
Right. Just so, a quick trip to Amazon, dude. Come on.
Literally. I've done a couple of videos on it. Every time I screenshot Amazon and Etsy and all these places, you can get ICE badges and shirts and hats and all this crap. And there's been multiple guys, of course, that have done it for robberies, attempted kidnapping, sexual assault. We've seen some social media idiots doing it to try to get a good laugh or whatever. Well, the FBI today came out and said they would like ICE agents to identify themselves amid the rise in violent impersonators.
Well, this is comes straight from wide-eyed Kash Patel.
Right. Kash Patel can even see that this is not a good idea. The statement read, due to the recent increase in ICE enforcement actions across the country, criminal actors are using ICE's enhanced public profile and media coverage to their advantage to target vulnerable communities and commit criminal activity. This not only affects the victims and the communities, but also has a broader negative consequence on law enforcement agencies. Like, no shit. And why? Why can ICE not identify themselves? Why can they not show a real badge, a warrant, have a marked car with painted stuff and lights and not the license plate they take off or the ICE crap they paint on there? Like, this is dangerous. And they are making it so easy that, yes, even the FBI run by podcaster Kash Patel has said, like, hey, guys, maybe this is a bad idea.
Yeah, maybe. Because who knows how many people have been harmed in some way, right, whether it be through sexual assault or just
those are the cases we know about that I mentioned. Yeah. So, yeah, insanity. And
I
then,
wonder if Pam Bondi had anything to do with this, you know, just to say like, hey, things are, we're getting a lot of reports, dude, of innocent people being raped or robbed or whatever. Has anyone died?
Not that I'm aware of, no. And by the way, I highly doubt this was Kash Patel himself. These are actual FBI agents that are compiling this stuff and sending it up the ladder to be like, hey, this is an actual problem. Here are 24 cases. Here are 32 cases. Here are 40. Like, do we see a trend going on here, boss?
Yeah. Yeah. We were talking about this a long time ago, Steve. As soon as I started coming out with these face coverings and no warrants and names, I think you brought it up first just to say, like, yeah, this is happening, dude. Somebody better do something. And your recommendations were falling on deaf ears, but now they're picking them up, dude.
Well,
that's great.
I think they're probably still going to fall on deaf ears. You think ICE is going to take the masks off?
Yeah, we already have talked about how these lunatics are, you know, not qualified for these positions and are mostly men on power trips and, you know.
No, it's little dick guys power tripping. It's an excuse to be a racist asshole and go out there and beat up on people that you feel are beneath you. That's who they're recruiting. Because anybody who wants to be in actual law enforcement would join a local law enforcement agency. They'd be a local cop or a state cop or want to be a real FBI agent. You only join ICE to be a bully because that's what they are.
Yeah, do it like a real cop and, you know, have to sit through 23 whole weeks of training.
It's more than ICE is getting.
Yeah, that's very true.
And by the way, police officers, at least in almost in most major areas nowadays, are required to wear body cams.
Yes.
Which has changed that entire industry for the better and for my entertainment because I love watching those body cam videos. But ICE agents are not. The judge did order the head ICE guy in Chicago that keeps, you know, breaking all the rules that he now has to wear a body cam because he was caught lying under oath saying that protesters are attacking him. And that's why he threw tear gas. And judge called him out and said, nope, you're freaking lying. There's no evidence of any of that.
Yeah, none of this has to be done this way. I mean, this is all for optics to show us as a community who's in charge and who to fear. So,
yeah. Noel here, imagine not knowing if you're being tackled down by an aggressive brown shirt or a predator. The difference is dwindling. I mean, that's the entire freaking problem.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that a perpetrator would do to you, run up to you with a mask on. You know, I thought during COVID there'd be a spike in people robbing banks with masks on because it became normal, which there's few cases of it. But no, this ICE stuff in less than a year has exponentially grown, and it's just going to keep growing.
Yeah.
So there you go. We have another. Oh, look at this. Nick is adorable. I wonder who that is.
Who is that?
Is that your mom?
Probably. Yeah.
I have one other story under the topic of Nick and Steve. We're right, and we've been talking about this for months.
Give it to me, dude.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, we have been talking about these freaking obviously illegal extrajudicial murdering that Trump is doing of boats off the coast of Venezuela. Now we're into the Pacific Ocean. They're just killing people on boats with no justification, no evidence, and just telling us all to take their word for it. Yeah. So two things came out this week. First of all, someone at the UN said that this does need to be investigated. certainly appears to be illegal. And there's a reason that, like, Putin cannot go to most countries on this planet because there are arrest warrants waiting for him because international tribunals have found him guilty of things like murdering political opponents. So I'm glad somebody with some international authority has finally said that they're going to look into this. But the Associated Press, the free press, I mean, this is why we need to support newspaper outlets, whether it is the New York Times or the Associated Press or whatever. But
and channels like this, dude.
Absolutely. And, you know, everyone speaking out right now and putting a spotlight on Trump shenanigans is in harm's way. And, yeah, we're definitely on that list. But people that actually go to the ground and do actual investigative reporting and fact-finding, that we just cannot stand to lose in this era of everything just being online. Because the Associated Press investigated the identities of those killed in Donald Trump's military strikes on boats in the Caribbean and found that, this is going to shock you, many were not the hardened criminals that Trump has claimed.
Oh, you mean they did have fishing poles and other tackle box items? I mean, these were fishermen, dude. We know that some of them were.
Yes. One was a fisherman struggling to eke out a living on $100 a month. Another was a career criminal, but not some sort of drug kingpin. A third was a former military cadet. And a fourth was a down-on-his-luck bus driver, according to the report.
They're all the same to Trump, dude. Because we remember when he started bombing these boats that he was bragging about, like, fishermen aren't even going out. The waters are empty. Like, this is how people not only feed an economy, but feed their family. And you made fun of it and didn't give a shit. So all of these people are underneath him. Therefore, he doesn't care, dude. He doesn't care who he's murdering.
And there is more going on, as this person points out. Venezuela and Nigeria have a lot of oil, just saying. I do think that that's a big part of what's going on there. But either way, we can get below the surface on another chat. But on the surface here, he is killing innocent people. Yeah. I mean, I think it was Rand Paul that said, because Rand Paul has actually been very good on this topic. He's not okay with this. And he said, documented fact, when the Coast Guard does law enforcement, because that's what this is supposed to be, drug trafficking, when they pull over suspected drug boats, 25% of them turn out to be fishing boats or cargo boats. Like, they aren't drug dealers. So yeah. Coast Guard has a 1 in 4 error rate. How could the Trump administration possibly be batting 1,000, never gotten one wrong?
Because he knows more than the generals.
Right. Because he doesn't care. You're like you said, like they're all just foreign. I'm looking down my nose. Like he thinks they are less. He's trying to scare all of us. And I mean, just even one person being blown up by an American military jet is obviously one person too many.
Yes. This is a great comment. Even if they were drug dealers, extrajudicial murder is a crime, for fuck's sake.
Yes. No, we should prosecute people. Like the two people that survived, did we arrest them and set them up for trial? No, because we didn't have the jurisdiction to even do something like that. But we apparently feel that we can just blow them up. The Associated Press conducted dozens of interviews in Venezuelan coastal towns, finding families who dispute Trump's portrayal of their loved ones as narco-terrorists. Most were low-level laborers taking dangerous jobs for $500 a trip. Something else I had said early on, that some of these people are just freaking dirt poor and are probably taking, even if it is a drug boat, they're just taking the job to try to feed their family. They are not Pablo Escobar. They are not some decision maker. If you kill them, the drug ring will, of course, continue to exist.
Yes.
AP says laborers, fishermen, a motorcycle taxi driver, two were small-time criminals. Only one was linked to a crime boss providing smuggling services. And by the way, as of now, we are up to 69 people that we have murdered in these strikes.
Don't say we, dude.
I mean, not you and me personally, but America. I mean, this is the problem. We're all on the hook for this. Yeah. This is why people hate America.
Yeah, you know, 100%. I don't, you know what, I'm sure that things have gone on somewhat like this behind the scenes, but we've never seen just outright murder by an administration before.
Right. Well, we know that Trump has authorized potentially lethal CIA operations within Venezuela. We don't know the details of it. But that's the kind of thing that every other president is smart enough to realize that I'm not going to talk about that because we're not supposed to be doing that. And every John Clancy movie, they're all smart enough to know we don't talk about sending these people into other countries, you know? I mean,
yeah, you don't talk about Fight Club, dude. You know?
Right.
Right. So,
those are my two. We were right. And by the way, I mean, I say that half jokingly, but my point is we need to keep the attention on this. This cannot become normalized, mainstreamed, or just, we killed another person on a boat today, another day in America.
Yeah. No.
As this person says right here, we suck. That is absolutely correct.
Very true, dude. And to grow complacent is, not okay on this. It's like Epstein. We got to keep talking about this shit.
Yes. Yep. Indeed.
So let's talk about something really important that happens right here in our country today as we woke up to a huge announcement this morning right from the Oval Office. This is hard-hitting news, and it plays here on the Vocal Minority.
These are two companies that are behind the groundbreaking weight loss drugs that have helped millions of Americans struggling with obesity live better, longer lives, everything else. These are the two companies that really broke ground. Until now, neither of these two popular drugs have been covered by Medicare for weight loss, and they've only rarely been covered by Medicaid. They've often cost consumers more than $1,000 per month, and some a lot more than that.
Okay. So let me just say this first.
I think they like me too much, Bobby, but that's okay.
Go away, Trump. So you heard him say, and a lot of Americans didn't consider, that he's saying that these fat pills, as he calls them, are going to be available for Medicare and Medicaid. And he says at the end of that clip, starting today. Well, a quick, simple fact check of that is to show that, no, we may see some of that happening a little less than a year from now, okay? Mm-hmm. But that is for Medicaid and Medicare, okay? The epitome of health and fragility came out and made a comment about what this is actually going to do to our country.
Okay.
The American public, because of this agreement, will lose 125 million pounds by this time next year. Well, it is going to have dramatic effects on human health in this country.
We have an update, Secretary Kennedy. Oh, we thought it was 125 million pounds. Mr. President, our estimate based on the company numbers as well is Americans will lose 135 million pounds by the midterms.
Wow. Hmm. Okay. Well, let's talk about that.
Let's start with that first number, okay?
Yeah.
125 million. There's only 300 something million people in America. So,
and how many are on Medicaid?
But yeah.
Because not everyone gets this.
But wouldn't that mean that everyone would be losing like half their body weight or something?
At 125 million pounds. No, I mean, if everyone lost weight, we'd all just have to lose, 1.75 pounds, something like that, right?
My math is off. Yes, go ahead.
To jump to a billion, we would essentially have to, everyone in the country would have to lose 400 pounds.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that's where just shy of 400 pounds.
Well, that would certainly be the runway look now, wouldn't it? So here's someone that did the math, 397 pounds per person. Yeah. This does not surprise me because Trump world does like to just make up numbers. Yes. Even 150 million, you're assuming that many people are overweight and everyone like that would still be, that still sounds like a skewed number to me. But to say billions of pounds, that's
well, and to funny. Put it on, I mean, you just said that it's just for people on Medicaid and Medicare, so that is not 300 million people, dude. So it's a very small population of people who are going to be getting these drugs. The drug price is still. Some of them, I guess, will take a $50 copay, but they're going to be like $400 a month, basically. I don't know. And then the last thing that was said there, people will lose all this weight by the midterms. Like, why are you talking about the midterms, dude? Like,
to bribe everyone, right?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it. And Trump comes out with this notebook and goes through all these things. This is fantastic, dude. This is a quick little scene from our friends over at The Daily Show with Jordan Kepler. And I just thought, oh, that's really funny, dude.
Today, Donald Trump announced a major deal to drastically cut the price of Ozempic and other weight loss drugs. It's all part of his campaign promise and his one consistent principle of no fatties. He made the announcement at the Oval Office today in an event that turned into a major HIPAA violation.
Secretary Howard Lutnick, do you take any of this stuff, Howard?
Okay,
good. CMS Administrator Memenaz, he doesn't take it. Where's Steve? Is she here? Head of Public Relations for the White House? He's taking it.
He's just outing people who are taking the fat drug, dude.
Wow. And now that I'm wrapping my head around these numbers, even if it was 150 million pounds or something, so you're bragging that everyone's going to lose 2 pounds?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't understand it. I mean,
even if you take that down in half, so half the country's going to lose 4 pounds?
Right, dude. Let me say this. I fluctuate within 4 pounds week to week, dude.
Right. And by the way, is it cheating? I know there are some health benefits to losing weight regardless. It's not doing anything for your cardiovascular, your heart health, or anything like that. But
look, I know people who have taken the drug, and it's worked for them, and I know some people who have taken it and didn't. But even Trump today, when he's talking about it, you know, he's riffing, you know, he's weaving. So he was like, you know, it's only doing good for people. And then he looks to the people behind him. He's like, have we seen it do anything bad?
Yes. People? Every drug has a side effect. Yeah.
Of course, dude.
And by the way, he's projecting. Trump has lost weight. I don't think he's exercising. We know he doesn't believe in it. So I'm pretty sure he's on one of those drugs as well. So he's outing everyone around him, but doesn't want to admit to it himself.
Acting like a Ozempic, like, you know what it's called, dude.
Yeah. He doesn't know what acetaminophen is, but he knows what Ozempic is. I mean, please. Yeah. And what about the guy passing out and Trump just staring, standing, said nothing, did nothing?
Dude, he turned his back to him at one point and was just sitting, looking like he was in a dead marriage counseling session. Like, just the look on his face.
Absolutely. I did a video for Really American Today about Obama speaking at that podcast event last night. But on the topic of the difference between Trump and Obama, at the end of it, I showed that video of Trump having the guy faint next to him and Trump just standing up, saying nothing, doing nothing, looking annoyed, actually, that the guy was taking attention away. And then I said, gee, I wonder if there's any clips of Obama having someone faint at one of his events. And there are. And of course, Obama, as the president, turned around, went and helped the person, offered a hand, nice words, someone get this person help, didn't look all pissed off and annoyed. Like, that's what a human being does. That's what somebody with empathy does.
Proving once again, we're different, dude. We want people to continue to eat. We want, you know, all people in this country to have a good chance, and we want you to stop attacking immigrants. You know, we're just different, dude. We've been saying it for a long time, but it just keeps getting highlighted. So,
spot on.
Well, I'm a week ago for a couple more hours, Steve. It was a busy week, but this is a podcast we do twice a week here, Tuesdays and Fridays on the Really American Media platform. Thank you guys all in the chat for joining us today.
Indeed. Yeah, we'll be back on Tuesday. And check out all the content going on here at Really America and all the people doing the short-form videos, all the podcasts happening here. You can find Nick and I at our website, thevocalminority.net, if you want to message us there. And then we have social media pages as well. But all of this stuff is archived on the Really America channel. I think it's kind of cool to actually watch it. You can listen to the podcast. That's on all the platforms. But it's cool to watch it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you're on there, dude. You look great today, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
I took Ozempic.
Yeah.
I exercise, goddammit. I do it the hard way.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Have a fantastic weekend, and yeah, we'll be back on Tuesday.
And that wraps up another episode of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve, arming you with a sharp tongue and all the facts you need to fuel the fight, the resistance. Stay healthy, touch some grass, and we'll catch you next time on The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Good day, champions.
Good day.
Good day.